shall not be moved. He will fail me never. I shall not be moved. I'm like that tree that's planted by the water.
Yes,
I shall not be moved.
On his word.
On his word I'm feeding. I shall not be moved.
I know that
he's the one that's leading. I shall not be moved.
I'm like that tree
that's planted by the waters.
Yes,
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Oh, yes, I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I'm like that tree that's planted by the waters.
Yes,
I shall not be moved.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. I shall not be moved.
I'm
anchored in Jehovah. I shall not be moved.
I'm
like that tree that's planted by the water.
Oh, yes.
I shall not be moved.
Though the tempest rages,
though the temple rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. I'm like that tree that's planted by the water.
Oh, Lord.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be.
I shall not be. Oh, I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I'm like that tree that's planted by the water.
Oh,
I shall not be moved.
One more time.
Yes, I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be.
Oh,
I shall not be.
Cause
I'm like that tree that's planted by the water.
Oh,
I shall not be moved.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, sister.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless everybody.
God bless you.
A little nervous, so just bear with me. But it's been on my heart, and God's like, you got to get up there and tell about it. So I've got to. Okay. Thursday night, my car was broken too. My wallet was stole. My purse was stole. All my social security cards were stole. Well, I got them replaced. And I got a message yesterday from a woman who says, I have your driver's license and your husband's truck keys. And so this is the first time ever that, and I felt it in my heart, you know, I said, Tommy, I said, when you go pick up these keys, please pray for this woman, because this woman to come, she admitted to buying off of somebody else my driver's license and keys. It took a lot of courage for her to come out. She said, I saw on your Facebook all the godly posts that you post. She said, I had to give you back your stuff.
Wow.
So, glory to God. Amen. Praise Jesus. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Don't tell me God doesn't move. Don't tell me we're not the bride of Jesus Christ and things that cannot happen. do happen. I thank God for this message. You know, you come up and you have all these kinds of things to say, but then when you get up here, you know, it kind of all leaves you. So, but yet, I come not empty. He's filled me up. So I have an offering to put before the Lord. God bless you, Brother Praveen. We're going to be praying for you. We love you. And God knows the things that we go through. Everything happens for a reason. So we're just going to do, somebody can testify to us while we get our stuff together.
Are we ready?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I just want to say something. Just please keep my dad in your prayers. He's declining somewhat. His heart rate is failing. He's just not up as much as he used to be. He's tired. And also pray for my aunt. She had another stroke and in the hospital.
Chrissy is a caregiver. Whatever God has for you to do, I mean, you just find yourself doing that.
That's right.
And so pray for each one of us as we step in our little places. It may be a small place, but it's God in flesh.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
had a request to play some, and it's been a couple weeks now, so I apologize for that. If I ask God for something, you know, I don't like to wait a couple weeks, so God asked me for something, I really shouldn't wait a couple weeks either. So, but yeah, I got that COVID shot last week, so I wanted to play Love Lifted Me, because I've been working on that, but with my breathing and everything, so I'm just going to play it. It's something I've played before, so feeling so much better.
Lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Love so mine.
that nothing else could help.
Could help.
Around and I see a bride ready to go. I come in here loaded. I tell you, I really enjoyed the brothers preaching on inspiration.
Yes.
I've been thinking on that since Wednesday. Amen. Until I get my next word. Yeah. I've been thinking on inspiration. I tell you, you know, I'm one and I want to look up what that means.
Yes.
And so I looked up what inspiration means.
Yeah.
You know, it says the process.
Oh.
You got to go through something.
Yeah.
There has to be a process. I love that fact that you can just stop there and talk about God's process.
Yeah.
You know, it says of being mentally stimulated. Yeah. Well, you know this revelation won't come to you by mental. You can study it.
Yeah.
You can read the books.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a change.
It has to be.
There's got to be a process.
Yes.
So I'll change. I'll tweak it.
Yeah.
Say a process of being spiritually stimulated to do or feel something.
Oh, my.
You know what? It's funny because, you know, talk about inspiration. I went to the gym this morning because, you know, we have church.
Right.
And I got to be here by 9:30, so I move my life around this.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I make this a priority.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't make what I want to do a priority, so I made sure I got up super early.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, it's like, you know what? To be inspired, you got to be consistent.
That's right.
You got to be consistent.
Right.
You can't come in here and just do it a little bit. You got to give it your all. You got to be 100% behind this. And I was thinking, I was really turned on because, you know, we expect God to speak every single time that
we come
in here. I remember the closing words of Brother Moore on Wednesday. He says, if we have an inspired singers, and we have an inspired preacher, and we have an inspired body, guess what? We're going to have an inspired service.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to do my part.
Right.
I want to come in here inspired.
Yeah.
But you know what? It takes, you got to push.
Yeah.
You're not going to get inspired on the bench. You got to step forward. He wanted a willing vessel. He wanted you to play the harmonica. You know, just get out there.
Yeah.
Put something forward.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that. You know, being consistent. You want to go and lift a bunch of weights. You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
You got to start small. You got to be consistent.
Right.
You got to learn how to do proper form first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You know what? I tell you, it's not about the works. It's not. It's really not. But you know what? When you have that process, you won't help but produce those works.
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny because I didn't try to do anything. All I said was like, you know what, Lord? I've even prayed different since Wednesday. I'm like, you know what? I want you to take preeminence in my life. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I don't even want to make a move until you've put your stamp on it.
That's right.
But then you got to understand where God's at.
Yeah, where is
Where's God's at?
Come on.
We got a living message. I can reach out and touch God.
Yes.
I don't know anybody else that can say that. God came through this morning, and he shaked my hands in many different forms.
Yes.
I love it because you know what? You stop looking at the flesh.
Stop looking at
it. It's what you did with the word when it came across
right.
you. Oh, I love that. That's what gets me excited because you know what? You can do a whole bunch of things. You can live a whole kind of way. You can look a certain kind of, you can falter every single day. But I tell you what, when you get in here and you yield yourself to God, that turns me on.
Yeah.
I love to see a body. So when I come in here, I'm like, you know what?
Amen.
I come inspired.
Yes.
I come inspired because I expect.
Loaded. Yeah.
You know, that same inspiration is going to be the inspiration that gets our body changed.
That's
right.
It.
You're talking about an inspiration that got that new birth.
Yeah.
That same. And it wasn't without a feeling.
Right.
I can't tell you when it happened.
No.
But I tell you it happened.
Right.
Because you know what I can say? When that word comes across the pulpit, I'm like nothing but amen. 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 Even if you can't live up to it, amen. It's nothing but the truth because that's what a believer does. He believes.
That's right.
He believes.
Okay.
He didn't ask you to live it.
Right.
But you know what? You keep coming, and guess what? Your life will change.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guarantee. You keep being consistent in this, and you will reap the rewards. He said, seek ye first.
It's a promise.
He seek ye first. He didn't say seek yourself first.
Come on.
He didn't say seek something else first or the cares of the world. He said seek him first.
Yeah.
He said seek his word.
Yeah.
Right.
His word. And not just some manufactured word.
Right.
His true word. That means that you have to seek a man who's preaching it. There had to be a prophet.
Yeah.
I love that. There's a process to God's words. There's a process. I love that because, you know, eventually that process will be complete.
Yeah. Right.
I know I'm going for a process of a body change.
Yeah.
Right.
My faith will end in sight.
Here
at the end.
Nothing. So we say, oh, that first song, I can't be moved.
No.
No, you can't move
no.
me. Well, I'm like a tree planted by the water. These songs just read different.
Yeah.
You try to move me, I'm like, nope.
Sorry.
Nope. Dude, no, heaven and hell will pass away.
Yes.
Heaven and earth will pass away before his word goes without void. If he says I'm more than a conqueror, then guess what? I'm more than a conqueror.
Right.
Yeah. What else is there to say?
It's declared.
If he says that I am, then I am. If he says I'm going to, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, I'm not looking for how it's going to happen. I don't even care.
Right.
He said it's going to happen.
Yep.
So what are we going to do? What are we going to do as a bride?
Yeah.
What does a bride do in the natural?
Yeah, come on.
What does she do in the natural? If she wants to worry, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can make that choice.
Yeah, right.
You can make that choice and worry, but you know what? I've seen the examples.
Yeah.
We've got some good sisters in here.
Amen.
I tell you what they do. They're like, you know what? I'm not even worried about it.
No.
He said it's fine.
Yeah.
It may look bad. The world may look bad. You think we don't go through stuff?
Yeah.
We go through stuff. We go through a lot of things, but we have a difference. There's something within us.
Yeah.
Something within us that stands next to us and guards us and guides us and lifts standards.
Come on.
You didn't even know you needed it.
Yeah.
You didn't even know
just to meet
somebody. You're like, you know what? I saw the post on your Facebook. That touches me. Because you know what that means? That means that you're consistent. You're consistent.
Right.
You're living this. You're breathing this. It's not just a Wednesday, Sunday kind of thing.
Right.
This is a life changer.
Amen.
If you truly believe this, this will change your life.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself doing the things that you did not do.
Amen.
You find it odd because you won't fit in. I love it because you can't fit in. Lord, I am just so thankful. I look forward to coming here.
Amen.
I look forward. It makes me almost nervous. I'm like, I'm out there in my car waiting. I'm like, oh, Lord, what are you going to do today?
Yeah.
What are you going to do today? This could be the day.
Yeah, this could be
the day. I'm not looking for a body change 40, 50 years down the road.
Oh,
I'm looking for it. Well, I woke up. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in a little bit. Amen. We're about to convene as a body.
Yes.
This little building together under one mind, one accord, underneath perfect revelation.
Yeah.
This is the day.
This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
But you know what's funny is when I wake up on Monday, it's still the day that the Lord has made.
Right, yeah.
It's not just a Sunday, Wednesday kind of thing. Tuesday comes around. This is still the day that the Lord has made. I won't be shook.
No.
We won't be shook.
Amen.
We can't be shook. If you say you're eating when I'm eating, then you should look the same way.
Yeah. Right.
You shouldn't be shook. Yeah. You should come up here at the same time. You know what? I don't care what the world said. I don't care what it looks like. It's crazy out there. People are worried about their safeties and concerns.
Right.
You know what? I'm like that little woman. He says, if you make me some food, you'll never be hungry again.
Yep.
I'll have just enough to be fed. And you know what? We're blessed with a surplus.
Yeah.
We're sitting at the fountain, and we're over here spoiled.
Yeah.
I tell you, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
I don't want to be spoiled. I don't want you get mad at your kids for being all spoiled, but it's your fault.
Yeah.
You gave them increased in goods, and you're mad that they have too much. What are you going to do? I tell you what, no, I'm going to do is like, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me.
That's right.
Thank you that I woke up with breath. If I have breath, I have life. Where there's life, that there's hope.
Yes.
What are you going to do with it? I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to waste my voice. I'm going to get hoarse. I'm going to clap my hands.
Amen.
I'm going to get in the spirit.
Amen.
I didn't come here not just to sit down on God. I came here to have church.
Yeah.
I came here to hear from God. You know what? I've already heard from God. I've already heard from God. By inspiration. It's funny because that I enjoyed that. That brother was like by the foolishness.
Yeah.
It's by the foolishness. Yeah. We look foolish.
Oh, yeah.
Up here talking crazy. But you know what? It's crazy to the world.
Yeah.
But to us, it's nothing but the truth.
You can
literally live your life on this. And I guarantee you, evidence-based, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. And you know what's even nice about it? If you can't do it, you're still okay. You're still okay. Nobody else can say that. Nobody else can say that. When you can say that, no matter what comes my way, I am okay. So you know what? This morning, I want to give my thanks to God. I want to give my thanks for all that he's done. The fact that he lifts me up when I didn't even think I needed to be lifted up. He changed things that I didn't even know needed to be changed. But you know, that only happens when you yield yourself. If you're over here trying to hold your hands shut and hold on to a whole bunch of things, guess what? God can't do anything with you.
Right.
So this morning, I just want to open my hand.
Yeah,
I want to pour myself out.
Yeah.
Because eventually, I love that thing that Sister Elise said, eventually that progress bar will be 100%.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
0% Seth, 100% God.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
That's what the brothers get to offer. It's a joy and a privilege to be here this morning. I just want to identify with this group of believers here this morning, and that all that God has done for me, I couldn't thank him enough. Couldn't thank him enough for all he's done for me. And I want to give a praise report. I don't want to be a spoiled child, because God does answer prayers. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And it's been a few months ago, I believe, I asked for prayer for my cousin down in Kentucky. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. Her mother had it, passed away from it, all that. Anyway, she went through chemo, ended up having surgery, and then last week she had her scan and there's no more cancer. So I want to thank God for that, and thank God for what he's done for this body all through the ages. And just, couldn't thank him enough. I mean, when I pray, I expect him to answer. And that's what's been happening. So I just thank God and praise him.
Can I cut in here for a second? I just got to identify. I'm just grateful to be here right now. And I don't really talk too much about my family back home, but a couple of things that was going on with my mom, she had gout in her legs, and but now she's fine. So things turned around, you know. I forgot to bring it to the body. It's just, you know, when, you know, what I've come to realize is that everything that concerns me concerns my father. So if I forget, if it's unspoken, it's still duly noted. So he knows every facet of my life. So I don't have to worry about anything. If I hear information, you know, whether it's good or bad, I know God's got that. I don't even have to be there for me to know he's got it. So the other day, I wanted to share this because this lady just blessed me. And I was in Speedway, and I was a little bit hungry. So I ordered like this chicken and waffle sandwich. And it's just, it's so good, you know. And they ran out of chicken. So I was like, ah. And I was going to just back off the whole thing all automatically. The lady comes up to me. She's like, you like bacon? I said, yeah. And she's like, you like sausage? I was like, yeah. She's like, just wait. So I'm waiting. It seemed like forever. And because I was looking at my time, I'm like, man, I got to get to Tommy. He's working all by himself. And so finally my sandwiches come. And she was like, you want some egg in it? And I was like, no egg. So I get the sandwich, right? And I couldn't even help it. I get in the car and I'm like driving. I'm like, I got to get one of these things. It's smelling pretty good. It was like double sausage, like a whole gag of bacon. I mean, I was like, yo, this is the greatest sandwich. And I ate it, and it just blessed me, like, so much. I just felt put into action after that. And then I was like, Tommy, get this. And so Tommy ate that. He said, bro, this is the best sandwich I ever had. And it's just, you know, when you do something with love, when you put love in it, see, it was love that lifted me. You know, it wasn't the sandwich. It was the love that was put into the sandwich. It's not the vessel. It's the love that was put into the vessel that will bless anybody that comes across it. So I just wanted to share that and thank God for this place.
Amen. Let me do announcements real quick, Melanie. We don't have as many now because we have Brother Norod. We had Kentucky. And thank you to all the brothers that came out and helped Brother Don split a whole forest worth of logs. So, next week is the church picture. Tony Ogerviso will be here. And then get your money to Brother John by the 1st. And then they're having a fire on the 4th. And then the trip is the 17th. So go ahead. You'll be the last one.
Amen. Look at God. So I'm going to need help with this. I want to sing God It Lifted Me. Did we just sing?
Lord,
that's not
love
it.
Lifted me.
That's not it. God is real to me.
He's
yes,
real?
He's real. And he is real. And that's one thing that I kept saying when I was traveling is, he's real, y'all. You better look around. He's real, and he's with you.
Yes.
So, please help me with that. Amen. Amen.
He's real.
so real to me. My God is real. He's real. He's so real to me.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Oh, so many people doubt you. This world don't understand you. They don't believe you. But Lord, I know you're real. I know you save because you saved me. I know you heal because you've healed me. I know you answer prayer because you answered mine. I know you have shown us the way because I can see. Father, you're so real now, and I move my whole life around you. And Lord, I ask you to come this morning and continue to be with us, Lord, as we bring your word this morning. Lord, move every hindrance aside, every sickness, every problem. Lord, bring your healing to the body. Lord, we know it's real because I've seen it done, and I ask you to do it again. I ask you to continue to strengthen this bride. I ask you to just continue to help us, Father, as we move and step forward. Let this word become real to us today. Oh, don't let it just be a Sunday service. Don't let it just be a group of people gathering together. But Lord, let it be a one-on-one relationship between you and me. Let me, Lord, sit still and listen to you and know that you're speaking to our hearts. Lord, there's needs in this place today. There's questions in this place today that need answering. I pray, Father, before the services are out today that you will answer those questions. That you'll put a burning in us, that Lord, make us want to take that next step. Thank you for everything you've done, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And it's I'm here with mixed emotions because my son is leaving home. Brother Praveen's been here with us for 12 years, and I'll tell you a little bit about his story since he won't. If I get him up here, he'll say, bye. And that's how you're going to get out of him. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Praveen. It was 12 years ago that I got an email from this person from India, and I get emails from all over the world all the time. I mean, let's show you the. I do. I get emails. A lot I don't answer. A lot I don't respond to. A lot of them asking for money. A lot of them asking for a lot of things. And I'm just going to take a second this morning. I'll get to the message here in a minute. But just to show you, see how God moves. So I get this email from this young man. And he says, hi, my name is Praveen. And I never could get his last name right. Y'all don't even know. I was thinking this morning, I say, y'all probably think he's like those singers with just single names. Y'all know it's Praveen. Katapogu is his last name, if I pronounced it correct. But I get this email from him, and he says, my name is Praveen, and I am interested in going to Wright State University in Fairborn, Ohio. And I contacted Jeffersonville, and they said that your church is close to Wright State. And I would like your help in getting to that college, because I want to do my master's. And so I thought, I thought I'll answer this one back. What Praveen didn't know is that he contacted the most important person he could have in this message. Not because of me or anything, but because my sister was a vice president at Wright State. And I didn't tell him that. I thought, you know, I'm just going to see how this plays out, because I really didn't think he was coming. And so I talked to my sister, and she said, yeah, he needs to do this, this, and this, and make sure that he gets all this done in order for him to get to the country. And so I started feeding Praveen this information. You need to do this. And as we communicated back and forth, he got to a point, and we were going back and forth. And I remember one time I was with Doug down in Kentucky. We were down there, and we were in the hotel room, and we had preached that day. And I'm sitting in the bed, and I was texting Praveen. And Doug's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm texting this brother in India. He wants to come to the United States. Doug said, oh, don't text him. There's probably some bomber or something, this and then. Doug was like, down with texting. He didn't trust him. and so I went ahead and I kept texting him and giving him information. And then finally Praveen had written me and said, well, I have to go to the embassy to do an interview. And what you ought to understand, in order for them to get out of the country, they have to go to the embassy and be interviewed and get the okay to leave the country. So I'm thinking, that won't happen. And then next thing I know, Praveen goes to this interview, and he writes me back, and he says, guess what? I've been to the embassy, and my plane lands, I think it was August 20th. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy is really coming. And I was like, okay, he's coming. So I was like, well, great, I will pick you up at the airport and take you over to Wright State so that you can get into Wright State's dormitory. And so up to that point, he still didn't know my sister, who was a vice president. I never did tell him that. I thought, well, he's going to do this on his own. And so I picked him up at the airport. I'd only seen him one time, and he had to teach me how to do Skype, I think it was. I didn't even know how back then. I didn't even know how to do Skype. And he taught me from India, well, you do this. Next thing I know, here's this little Indian guy shows up on my computer. And I thought, okay. So I had to pick him up at the airport. So I picked him up, and I took him over to the apartments over at Wright State and dropped him off. Glad to get him there. I did my part. wash my hands of the deal. I'm gone. And I thought, oh, I'll see him at church and he'll be fine. Well, I get home and Praveen calls me and he says, will you come get me? He says, I'm in an apartment with, I don't know, 15, 20 other Indian students. They just piled into that apartment and they were just going to stay there for the semester and go to school, and they didn't need a lot to live on. They were just going to make it happen. And Praveen was like, that ain't me. And so I said, okay, Praveen, I'll come and get you, and I'll bring you back to my house, and you can spend the night, and then tomorrow you can go to Wright State and talk, find dorms and get in there. And I brought him home to my house and put him up for the night, and he looked for a place. I'm starting to get suspicious, though. But the plan was that he was going to get a dorm room, but then it was the semester started, and there was no apartments, no dorms, no nothing. And I'm like, I'm stuck with this guy. So I told him, I said, okay, Praveen, you can stay here at my house until you get an apartment, and then you can move out then. And he stayed with me the entire time he was at Wright State. That boy never looked for an apartment, I don't think. I don't know. He can come and tell you that I'm making it up, but that he really honestly looked for an apartment, but I'm just suspicious that he didn't. He moved into our house, and he started working at the church, and he moved into our hearts. And now I feel like I'm losing a son. I'm sending him back home, and it's a mixed day here for me. And so Praveen's a special young man. He came and got involved in the church. He didn't just didn't come and sit. I'm not going to say like some of y'all. I'm going to say that. But he came in and he stayed here and got his degree in engineering. And he started working with the tape room staff, and he started helping out, and next thing you know, he took it over when Joe left. And you know, God always provides. He ain't gonna let his word go out void. And when you see people starting to do the stuff that you're doing, you should get nervous. Because like, God might be looking around corners and seeing that you ain't gonna be here. Well, Praveen was working in the tape room with Joe, and then Joe turned his key in one day and just disappeared. And I'm like, okay. Well, Praveen stepped up and he took it over, and he started working in the tape room, and he took care of the tape room. And one of the things I had him doing is working with the staff there to get everything together back there, get it written up and procedures. And he started working with, I don't know. I would look back today when I came in, because I used to come in and I go around the corner and look at Praveen and wave at him, greeting good morning. Well, this morning I looked back in there and there were four people in there. So it's going to take four of y'all to do what Praveen did. He was busy back there. Not only was he busy with the tape room, he was busy with the internet. He was busy making sure that we had the latest equipment. He always tried to get me to buy the most expensive, which I always shot down. But he wanted the best for the church. And, you know, he's has to go home. We were already planning on him going home. I really kicked myself, and I keep kicking myself, and I kicked myself again yesterday. I wish I had gone home for his wedding. And I told Praveen yesterday, I said, it didn't cross his mind nor my mind that I didn't have to stay there for 6 weeks. I don't know. It just wasn't for me to go, and I have to keep telling myself that. But he went home. I knew he was getting married. I didn't tell anybody, but I knew he was going home to get married. And so I took him to the airport, and he was so sick that day. I took him to the airport. He had COVID before, and he was just trying to recover, and he had to go home for his wedding. He's like, he don't have a choice. So I took him to the airport, and he looked so sick, and I felt so bad. I thought, I wish I had gone with him. And never thought, just go for a week. Duh. I asked him yesterday, I said, why don't you just say go for a week? If you had said that, I'd have done it. I'd never
but it just wasn't for me to go. And as you can see, I still have a problem with that. So I missed his wedding. And I missed his dad. His father passed away last weekend on Sunday morning. And Praveen and I were already in the process of making plans for him to go home because he needed to go home. He's got responsibilities. He's the only son. And I know I'm telling all your business, Praveen, but you won't, so I'm going to. He's the only son, and he's got to go home and take care of his family. And if I'd have told him to stay here, he would have. He told me that. And that shows you, you know, he's looking at what God wants for his life, even over top of what he wanted. And so I told him when we talked months and months and months ago, I said, Praveen, you need to go home. And I said, as much as I even want to let you go, I got to let you go because your responsibilities are great over there. And so we were back in February, March, making plans for him, at least February, March. I'm not sure how far back it goes, but we were making plans for him to go home at the end of the year. But his father passed away unexpectedly, so he's going home now. And so this is his last service. Well, he'll be here tonight, so y'all can ask him a bunch of questions tonight. But this is his last Sunday service. I'll be taking him to the airport Wednesday morning, Jay and myself. And from there, he'll be going home to take on the role of the head of his family. His wife is there. His mom's there. His sisters is there. His family's there. So he's got work to do there, just like he had work to do here. He's worked hard for 12 years. He got his degrees. He got his house. He got himself established. He's done everything right. He listens to the services. He pays attention. He and I talk quite often about things. So, you know, for him to go home is a sad thing for me in one sense. I'm really trying not to be selfish about this, but I figured this morning, since Praveen is going to be leaving, and he's going to be mad at me for doing this, but I'm going to make Praveen come up here to the front and say goodbye to us, and then we're going to pray for him as a body as we send him back home. So Praveen, come on out. Come out of there. I've been hugging him lately. I know he's very quiet and he's private, so I hug all over him. So Praveen, you can say whatever you like. Tell him I'm lying. You can't speak. I know you wouldn't. That's why I did that. So he said he can't speak. Can at least say bye. Okay, so I think what we'll do is have Praveen stand up front, and we're going to all pray for him as we send him home. And come on out here front, Praveen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We bring Brother Praveen, knowing that, Lord, his heart is heavy because Lord, he has family here, and he has family in India. Father, his responsibilities are calling him home to India. But his responsibilities here are so great that he said even while he's away, he wants to help from a distance. That's his heart. That's his love. I ask you to bless him, be with him, keep him safe. As he journeys back home, go with him, go with his family. Bless his mom and his sisters and his wife. And Father, we ask you to just so multiply his desire to serve you even as he goes home. Lord, he's going home with more than he came with, Lord. He's going home with a revelation, a clear understanding of this message, knowing that this thing is not preached everywhere, but, Lord, that what he has picked up here while he's been in the United States is something he'll take with him for the rest of his life from here to eternity. Ask you to bless him. Thank you for his love, and thank you for his concern and his dedication.
ask you to be with him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Praveen. Yeah. That's from the Sunday school. I wanted to do that. I knew he was not going to like it, but he's leaving town, so it won't matter. Actually, I've been all week trying to buy him a card. Never did. I couldn't. I thought, I can't do it. But I really appreciate him, so. Keep him in your prayers. He'll be traveling back home. It'll take him a good while. He's got to take a plane and then a train and something else to get there. But just keep him in your prayers. It's a good drive. Good way. And pray for me. I'm supposed to be going to India in January. So I asked him, I said, am I going to get to see you in January? And he's making plans that we'll get to be together in India in January. So I get to meet his family, Lord willing, and so this trip is going to mean more to me now than it meant before I found out he was going home. Well, I knew he was going home, but even then I thought in January I'd see him. But it's okay, I got that out. Whew. That's rough. I've been thinking about this all week, and so I appreciate all that he's done. I appreciate the people who are filling in and taking up the slack as far as him being gone. We've got people that are in place to do the work. They're back there working even as we speak. Praveen's got the day off, so you know, he can sit and enjoy. And if they run into any problems, they can. And he's actually, one of the things we're in the process of doing is working on a server so that we can have all of our services on our own server and stored here instead of having it out there stored, because I never did like having our services out there somewhere, because then other people are controlling your data. And I've always wanted it in-house here, and we've been working on this all year. Now we now have the storage and we have the server, and the last part that we have to do is we have to do a new web page, which Praveen was going to teach me to do it, but since he's going to go home, he's going to do it from India for us. And so even though he's gone home, he's still going to be helping Fairborn out. So God bless him. So we've got things to do. It's important that we all do our part. And it's important that Praveen's example is something that you all can look at. It's not about the loud mouths being up front. You don't even know Praveen's last name. But he's doing one of the greatest things in this church that can be done. And the work goes around the world. All of this that we have going around the world happens because of the things that Praveen has done. And I know others, Solomon's done it, Joe's done it, Praveen's done it. And now we got a group back there. Jay's head's up there even, and Courtney and the Pickens family back there, and there's, I know Elise is helping out. And we were in a meeting the other day, and Jeremiah walked in, looked around, said, well, I'm going home now. So he's helping out. So we're all doing our part, but the thing is, you do your part. You all come here because God's brought you here, and when you come with something that God wants to use. And you know, so when you come, don't take the back seat and feel like it's everybody else's position to do it. No, you do your part. Okay, so that gets me to my message. And there is service this evening, question and answers. We haven't had one for 3 weeks, or think it is. And so I told you all then, 3 weeks ago, if you have questions, bring them tonight. So tonight will be a night to catch up over the services that we've had, even in discussion or anything, or whatever it is you'd like to know or talk about this evening. So that'll be tonight at 7 o'clock. And we need to, I talked to Brother Peterson in London, and we need to schedule a time for us to go there, because they have built a roof on their church. So now it has a pitch to it, and it's not flat. They won't have water leakage like they've had. And I talked to Brother Peterson the other day, so
He wants us to come up. He wants to show us his roof, and he wants to rededicate his church, because now they also own the church. They're not renting anymore. So, you know, there's a lot going on up there, and he wants us to come and be a part of a dedicated service, and so I need to find a time. I know we got a lot of things going on, but we're going to pick a Sunday and go to London, Ohio to help him. I'll have to coordinate it with him, but I need to figure out what's going on here. But we're going to add that to the calendar as well. Brother Tony, would you be so? How many years did it take me? I will be picking him up on Friday, and he will be with us next Sunday. He wants to be in the church picture. So I'm gonna pick him up, and I'll be taking him back to Columbus Airport on Tuesday. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now, and so keep us in your prayers that God keeps us healthy, because we got a lot happening. So to get to the message this morning, good to have Crystal Sisters with us. I didn't recognize them right off. It'd been so long since I'd seen them, I didn't recognize them right off. But it's good to have them here. And I just love the fact that Brittany said about the stolen item. It took me back to when Brother Branham said that person had stole a car. And this guy stole a car and drove it down to Kentucky or somewhere and was going to just take it. And they start praying, and he brought the car back. And that reminds me when she said about the stolen purse, that the person got on the internet. And see, I tell you, those internet, see why you need to have some Christian stuff on there instead of this worldly stuff. Her just having a godly website convicted a person so much so that they called her. Do you realize she could have got the police involved and had her arrested? But she was so convicted. See what the Word of God will do? I mean, that's real, people. That's real. You wonder where God is? He's in his people. So convicted her just by looking at her website. What would people be convicted of if they looked at your website? Oh, y'all getting quiet now. I'll get to this in a minute. I'm just saying. You put godly things out there, and God is in your website. God is in your home. God is in your community. God is in your church. God is in your school. He's real. And he is in everything godly about you. So convicted her. She didn't even consider the fact that she could have been arrested and gone to jail if turned in. She was willing to pay the consequences, so convicted. God bless her. But it shows you the power of the Word of God. You don't have to preach to somebody. Yeah, they're inspired. You inspire them to do the right thing. You doing the right thing, turn around and convicted her, and she called her up and said, I got your stuff. I want you to get your stuff back. I got your husband truck keys. I mean, she knew enough to know all of the business. But I thought, that's amazing. And then people don't realize, they don't act like God ain't real. They wonder if there is a God. Yeah, there's a God. He does stuff in this church so much, we don't even hardly look at it. It happens. Amen. Cured from cancer. I mean, I'm just talking about this morning. I'm just talking about what God said this morning. Convicted somebody who's not even a believer. Cure of cancer. Answers prayers. Solves problems. Works out trouble. And you don't want to serve a God like that?
Oh my goodness, why wouldn't you want to serve a God like that? And I'm not talking about something that's happening somewhere else. I'm talking about what God's doing in 1744 Superior Avenue. Get up and give a praise report because God took cancer away. My goodness. Sometimes we take this thing so lightly. Oh, you're right, Seth, we're spoiled. It happens so much around here that we're just spoiled and we don't hardly look up to find out where it's coming from. So God just somehow sometimes had to just stop us for a minute and say, look what the Lord has done. Look what I'm doing for you. I'm in your home. I'm in your school. I'm in all of the moves, everything that you're in, I'm in there. Why wouldn't you want to serve? And then people ask, is God real? He's so real, I can't even tell you how much he's done. My goodness, I better get started. And I'll run into my questions and answers. That's at 7 o'clock. If you turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 6. I was inspired to bring this message this morning. And I don't know altogether why. I've been thinking about it all week. I don't know. Maybe it's because Praveen's leaving. I could blame him. But I felt that, and I've been feeling this all week, this message this morning, and I want to read over here Isaiah chapter 6. Just read the first 8 verses, if you'll stand with me. Starting at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Like the title of the message this morning, Being an Ambassador for Christ. You may be seated. Being an Ambassador for Christ. I'm thinking about this scripture this week. And here you had Isaiah. He was a prophet of God. A real prophet. A gift. Ordained of God. And I was reading, and Brother Brenham said he was a prophet all his life. You don't just become a prophet. He was always a prophet. But he was a prophet, but wasn't moved into his ministry. He got caught up in the Lord's day. And when he got caught up there, he saw God sitting on the throne. Same picture that John saw in the book of Revelation. Same scenario. You had the Lord on the throne. And then you had your beast. The seraphims were around him. crying, holy, holy, holy. Now, this was taking place in the time that he was sitting on the throne as mediator. But as he did this, the prophet was looking and God was talking to him and he told him, he says, I need you. And the prophet was like, no, not me, Lord. I'm undone. I'm no good. I'm not worthy. You ever feel that way? You don't need me. You got so-and-so. They're much more talented. They're better than I. They do better. I'm a wretch undone. I'm filthy rags. I'm the worst of the worst. You can't use me. But God's like, oh, no. I called you. If God calls you, he wants you. And if God wants you, he needs you. And if God needs you, he has something for you to do.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter how bad it looks. Sometimes we compare ourselves with ourselves. Or we compare ourselves with others. People who are more talented. People who have more to offer. People who can sing. People who can play. People who have talent. People who are smart. We compare ourselves. But what you forget is that God called you.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what everybody else does.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how much they have. Doesn't matter how talented they are. Because God's going to change everything about you. He's not worried about how talented you are. Oh, he can use your talents, but he didn't hire you for your talents because you know what? God can do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, how he wants, and with whoever he wants. And it doesn't have nothing to do with you. It all has to do with his will and what God wants. And see, God wants to use man. He could have used the stars. He could have used the sun. He could have used any of that. But God is looking for somebody that will humble themselves to him. Somebody who can say, Lord, I'm no good. But Lord, if you want this vessel, that's why Isaiah finally got to place. He's like, Lord, I'm unclean. I'm undone. I'm not good. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm undone, and I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people that are unclean. See, he realized that there was nothing he could do, and there was nothing that anybody could do. Same place John was in the book of Revelations at the opening of the seals. When John looked and he saw that the seals needed to be opened, there was no man in earth, over the earth, under the earth, that was worthy. Same thing Isaiah saw, that nobody was worthy. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. That's why I get so tickled when people think they've got so much God. They're not. It's the grace of God that he even deals with us. It's his grace, not ours. It's his calling, not ours. You know, God calls you because you love him. You love him. He called this prophet, Isaiah, because he loved him. But you got to understand how that love works. It doesn't work because you're doing so much. A lot of people think it's in the works. A lot of people think it's in trying to convince of what who they are, or how they got here, or what they have. It's not about any of that. It's something about a believer. When the word of God comes forth, they have to say amen.
Amen.
See? And it has nothing to do with you. It's just something on the inside of you agrees with the word of God.
Amen.
You say, my background is this and my background is that. That's okay. Your background can be whatever it is. But when God's word gets in you, it's going to force you. It's going to come. You will say amen to the word.
Amen.
I'm only talking about the believers. I ain't talking about everybody. Because everybody won't say amen to the word. A lot of people hold on to their traditions over top of the word of God. And they won't say amen to the word of God because their tradition says they shouldn't. But a believer, when I ran across the word of God, because I had my ideals, I had my background, I had my apostolic grace background, I knew all the apostolic doctrines and everything else I was supposed to believe. I knew that, but when I heard the word of God, over top of my tradition, I thought, I got to lay this down and pick that up because Amen. That's the truth. It doesn't matter about how I feel about it. It doesn't matter what I've been taught. It doesn't matter how I was raised. It doesn't matter what my bishop says, what my pastor says, what my family says. A believer, when they hear the word of God, they'll say it's right no matter what.
Amen.
You'll say it's right when you're dead wrong.
Amen.
That's what Isaiah was. He was like, I'm no good, Lord. You don't want to use me. I'm undone. I'm a man with unclean lips. But see, God's got something for those unclean lips. God's got something for a person. God can handle anything you got. He can handle any problem you have. He can handle any shortcomings you have. God ain't worried about your shortcomings. He's not worried about your problems. He's just looking for somebody who's willing. He needs ambassadors. He needs somebody who say, I'll go. He needs somebody who say, Lord, I can't do this. But if you will fix me, if you will give me, if you will show me, I couldn't preach unless God showed me how or what to do. I didn't get this from the seminary. I didn't go to some college. I didn't do all these things. This was the revelation given to me by Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, if you tell me what it is, I'll tell them what it is.
Amen.
All he needs is an ambassador. All he needs is somebody that's willing, somebody to die to themselves, to lay their thinking down, to lay their life down.
Yeah.
Oh, as long as you keep your life, God can't use you.
Right.
As long as you keep your thinking, God can't use you. Yeah. And here he was, as undone as he could be, or as rotten as he could be, and a prophet.
Uh-huh.
But God's got something that can cleanse that. Brother Branham said, and I read it this morning, I was thinking about the coal, and I went back down to the study. I didn't bring it. I could have. But I had enough quotes. I ain't taking nothing else. He said, that coal, that hot coal that seraphim put in his hand, he said, he touched him. He said, God always cleanses by fire.
Right.
He says the prophet was cleansed when the hot coal touched his tongue. That burned out his old thinking. That burned out his old speech. See, a lot of people, I don't understand. People can't change their thoughts or speech. They act like, you know, I've always been a cusser, so I got to cuss. Get that coal on your tongue. Get that coal on your tongue. Because you got to ask yourself, why? What do we do it for? What's the reason? Why are we doing it? We're trying to fit in somewhere. We're trying to do, well, I just always do it. Well, put that coal on your tongue. And then see what happens. You know, so, oh, it's getting quiet now. I'm sorry, y'all.
Right.
I'm telling you, you don't have to cuss. You don't have to drink. You don't have to smoke. You don't have to run around. You don't have to do nothing.
Amen.
All you got to do is get that coal.
Amen.
That coal will take care of anything you got.
Amen.
That's why the prophet said, I got problems. I don't care about your problems is what the Lord told him. He said, forget your problems. I got something for that. I just need you to be willing.
Amen.
Be willing to lay it down. Be willing to give up your ideas. Be willing to lay down your thinking. Lay this down and pick him up.
Yeah, right.
I got some coal that'll fix that.
Amen.
That coal will burn out anything that he doesn't want.
Amen.
You say, well, ooh, you're hitting too close. You need to get back on this.
Three.
I'm just telling you, that coal can fix you.
Amen.
Sometimes we hide behind excuses.
Right.
Of why we do what we do.
Amen.
The problem is you didn't open your mouth and let your tongue out. You didn't let that holy fire in there. You're trying to hang on to your thinking. You're trying to hang on to your old ways. You're trying to hang on to who you are. God don't care about who you are. Who you are has got to die. You got to die that he can live. Get the coal out. Coal's out this morning. It's here this morning. That hot coal is here this morning. What you got need of? What you need burnt up? You know, the only thing that can really get rid of something is fire.
Amen.
That's the only real thing to get rid of any problem. Only real thing to get rid of any problem, any trouble, any trash. Burn it. When you burn it, you'll never find it again. It changes its shape. It changes his the whole makeup of it changes. Have you ever thrown a piece of paper in the fire?
Yeah.
It ain't worried about being a piece of paper then. It melts itself down. It just curls itself. It tries to hang on. But that fire is stronger than that piece of paper. It the fire will change your form.
Amen. Amen.
We want a body change?
Yeah.
You need that coal. Amen. You need healing? You need that coal. Amen. You need answers? You need that coal. You don't have to leave here today the same way you came in here.
Amen.
The coal of fire is here.
Amen.
All God's asking this morning, He's not asking, can you take the fire?
Uh-huh.
He's asking if you're willing to go for Him.
Yeah.
That's all He wants. He wants an ambassador, somebody that's going to represent Him.
Yeah.
Not represent you.
Right.
Not represent the country. Not represent this world. This world is not my home.
Amen.
I ain't trying to advertise for this world.
Come on.
I ain't trying to hang on to this world.
Amen.
I'm not trying to tell the whole world. If you get anything out of me, it's going to be Christ.
Yeah.
Because that's my life. That is my world. I'm undone. I'm not any good. God said, don't worry about it. The coal's got you. And what did that coal do? He laid it upon his mouth and said, lo, has this touched thy lips? And thine iniquity is taken away.
Amen.
And thy sin is purged.
Yeah.
Not just covered. You got to get purged. You must be born again.
Right.
You got to get rid of your old thinking, your old nature. And the only thing that can do that is that coal.
Right.
It'll take away your iniquity.
Yeah.
Iniquity is knowing.
Come on.
Knowing to do good.
Right.
And not doing it.
Right.
Sometimes we act like we don't know, but we know.
Yeah.
Sometimes we act like we didn't. Oh, the devil made me. The devil didn't make you do nothing.
Right.
You chose to do it.
Yeah.
The hour that living in, we understand now that the devil ain't got nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
This is a love affair between me and him.
Yeah.
And I love him. I serve him. I please him. I do for him. But if you choose to do for the devil, that's on you.
Right.
That's on me.
Amen.
I can't not sin, then sin, then not sin, then sin. No, my old nature has been purged.
Right.
It's been done away with. My iniquity and sin is gone. But see, I still have to repent all the time.
Uh-huh.
I have to die daily. I have to lay down everything every day because sometimes I choose iniquity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all don't want me to say that.
Uh-huh.
That's why I said I, because I know y'all ain't going to admit it.
Amen.
I choose. Come on, church. Everybody may not be honest with them. Come on, you're at 1744 now. Act like this is Sunday night. Y'all tell everything on Sunday night. Let's act like this is Sunday night. Yeah, we choose to do what we do. It doesn't make you not a prophet, not a believer, not a Christian. It just means that you chose to do what you chose.
Yeah.
And quit lying to yourself and act like the devil's more powerful than you. The devil is not more powerful than you.
Amen.
You say you're a son of God. You say you're a daughter of God. Then if you're a son or daughter of God, you're more powerful than the devil.
Amen.
Devil don't have nothing on you.
Amen.
If you do the devil's deed, it's because you choose to do the devil's deed. To whom, I got scripture, to whom you yield your members, his servant you are. He didn't say son, he said servant. You're doing the job of the devil. You're doing the job of God. You're going to do the job of one or the other, but you choose what you want to do. Come on, quit lying to yourself. We need ambassadors for Christ. We need people that's going to serve God, to do it willingly. Lay down the way you dress. Lay down the way you look. Lay down the way you act. Lay down the way you talk. Lay down the way you live.
Amen.
Do you know the ambassador don't stay home?
Right.
You might be the ambassador of the United States, but they're going to send you overseas. You got to go somewhere. You're a representative. You're not even hired to stay home. Like Brother Childers used to tell those preachers, they say, well, I got a ministry. Brother Childers said, if you're an evangelist, Your ministry's not here, it's out there. Don't come trying to take over my church. I'm the pastor here. You get your fivefold ministry out there because that's where your ministry is.
You're right.
We ought to call ourselves ambassadors and sit here and don't do nothing. Can't be an ambassador if you're not sent. Ask you to do something, you sit on your hands. And I said, I know what I told you. But I see you sitting on your hands. I'm like, I thought I sent you. Doing nothing. This ain't a game, folks. We got a message to get out. We got work to do. God didn't call you to this church for you to sit down and do nothing. He wants ambassadors. Who can I send? That's the question I'd ask this morning. And I'm not going to just send anybody. An ambassador represents the country he comes from. You don't go and be an ambassador and representing another country. I'm from the United States, but I'm here on a half of Israel. I'm a son of God, but I'm here serving Satan. Amen. Are you going to serve, if God be God? Y'all know the scripture. Oh, y'all got the letter. I ain't questioning your ability to read. I'm in question your ability to go.
Amen.
If God talks to you, and you say he does, and you say he talks when the preacher's preaching, oh, that's me. You say it's God, and then God tells you what to do, and then you don't do it, that's iniquity. That's the definition of it in skin.
Amen. Amen.
You want to see God in skin? I can show you iniquity in skin. So here he was, a prophet, ordained to do the will of God. I know they're getting quiet on me, Brother Locke, but that's okay. I'm going to preach it anyhow because it's still the truth. God don't want you here to sit down. He wants you here to be about his business. And his business is not a game. Do you realize the church of all ages are dependent on the last day church to fulfill the word of God?
Amen.
Who's he going to send to do that? I'm in a world with crazy people.
Yeah.
I'm in a world that's undone. Lord, I can't do this. Nobody can do this. God's like, I got coal. Don't worry about it. Let me burn out your soul. Let me burn out your old nature. Let me burn out your old habits. Let me burn out your old traditions. Let me burn out your old likes. Let me burn out your old ways. Let me burn out your old leadership. And let me put my leadership in there. When I burn something out, I put something new in. Then you'll stop kicking. Then you'll stop bucking. Then you'll stop trying to justify in your mind with your iniquity why you don't have to do what I tell you to do.
Come on, preach. Amen.
I ain't off the first scripture yet. Do you realize that fire on the day of Pentecost burnt out those old souls? Same fire. He used the coal on Isaiah. Turn around and use it on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Turn around and use it on us.
Yeah.
That same fire's here.
Yeah.
That same pillar fire that was there on the day of Pentecost is here. It's still burning out. It's still getting rid of old natures.
Yeah.
It's still doing the work of the ministry.
Amen.
It's eternal.
Amen.
I had to look up the word ambassador because I didn't want to misconstrue it to you guys. It's an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. This world is not my home. Y'all trying to hang on to this world too much.
Come on.
It's not even your world.
Not mine.
You're an ambassador from Christ.
Amen.
You're not trying to fix this world.
Amen.
You're not trying to make it better.
Amen.
You're not trying to solve its problems.
Right.
You're not trying to figure out who's got to be the president or who's got to be the pope. or who's got to be the bishop, or who's going to run the Catholic Church, or who's going to run the bishop in the Baptist Church, or go to the Baptist Convention and vote who's going to have women preachers or not. You're not in all of that. It's not your fight. I'd rather you fight the fight of the good fight of faith than to see you out here fighting for this world order. I can't get you to do enough for God, let alone try to take this world order and keep it up. You're too loaded down with the cares of the world. The world's cares are all over you. I sometimes watch us. We'll watch the news. And we get so hyped up on the news. We'll be sitting there hollering at the TV. Like we're going to change something. Like we're going to do something. And then you go into church and you don't say amen. Didn't see that curveball. Yeah. You got an opinion about the world order. But you don't have nothing to say when it comes to the Word of God. It's not my nature. You know what? You need to check your iniquity with your nature and see which one you're lying to.
Amen.
Because your nature gets up. Your nature changes when your husband hollers at you. Uh-huh. Your voice raises then. Yeah. Yeah. You got something to say then. Got a whole lot to say, but then when you come to church... That ain't an ambassador. An ambassador is one sent from a country. What country? Our heavenly country.
Amen.
Sent down here to this foreign country.
Yeah.
Jesus told him and said, this world is not my home. If it were mine, I'd fight for it.
Right.
That's what every ambassador should be saying.
Right.
We're too busy fighting for this country. They're like, hey, I thought you were just an ambassador. What'd you do with that gun? But we do that.
Right.
We got our ambassadorships messed up.
Yeah.
We're fighting for the wrong things. We're holding up the wrong things. We're giving in to the wrong things. Yeah. And the thing that matters are the things of heaven that only the ambassador can do.
Right.
Nobody else can do that. Brother Branham said, when Isaiah the prophet had prophesied for many years under Uzziah, and when Uzziah was taken away from him because he tried to usurp the part of the priest, and he was stricken with leprosy and died, and Isaiah probably had been 40 years old, 50, and he had been a prophet, ever since a baby, because prophets are born. Their gifts and callings are without repentance. And there he was, a prophet of the Lord, down in there praying one day and confessing his sins down at the altar. And all of a sudden he came into the presence of God and seen God sitting in the heaven and his train. He saw the seraphims with their holy faces shaded with the wings and their feet covered with wings and flying with wings, crying, "Holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty." Isaiah was always a prophet. He didn't just become a prophet when he got the cold. Do you know you're always a son?
Amen.
You don't become a son when you're born again. Because ye are sons. It's the only reason he sends you the coal. The only reason that only the true believers can be born again. In non-seed, there's nothing to quicken. If you are from God, you have a seed of God. You're an ambassador from heaven. No man can go to heaven except for he that come out of heaven. Even the Son, which is in heaven. We all had to come from there. We're all ambassadors. Jesus wasn't the only ambassador. Isaiah wasn't the only ambassador. God's calling his ambassadors when they are needed for the time period that they're needed.
Amen.
And if we ever need ambassadors, we need it now.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 3, Moses. We know the story. Verse 10. Come down, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, another ambassador, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh? Just like we do. You don't need my testimony. You don't need me to say nothing. You don't need me to do nothing. You don't need me. You got enough people in. You got Praveen back there doing the sound system and stuff. You don't need me. You don't need me. We've needed you for years. We can't convince you that you're a needed part of the body. There's a need there. There's always a need there. And God needs ambassadors. Who are we going to send? Who am I going to send back to the tape room? Who's going to do the sound system? Who's going to play the instruments? Who's going to play the drums? Who's going to send out whatever we send out in email? Who's going to take? Let me tell y'all this. For us to send money overseas, somebody's got to do it. And most of y'all, I'd say 95%, don't even know how it happens. But it happens. We help. We do. We go. And everybody, I'm not saying everybody has to do it. I'm just saying there's all kind of things that God needs ambassadors for. The grass gets cut. You went out and had a picnic last Sunday. Did you consider that somebody cut it on Saturday to make sure it was nice and or whenever they cut it? It looked good. Church was clean. Had extra services. Voila. You walk in the door and the church is clean. Throw an extra service in there. Voila. The church is clean. Somebody opened the door, unlocked the door to the church. Who did that? I don't know. Every time I go to reach for the knob, matter of fact, I don't even reach for the knob. The deacon's back there, and they open it for me. Voila. But all of these things that I'm mentioning are done by ambassadors. Who are you going to send? Who's going to do these things? This church has gotten some older people in it. They're turning things over to younger people. Who are we going to turn over to? Half of the young people that I helped raise are gone. They talk about us. Can't turn it to them. Next generation feels like, well, I don't need to do it. They didn't. The older generation like, I'm through. Some people just walk away. I told you, I've seen them just walk away. Why? Nobody even offended them. They offended themselves, apparently. It's like, they just, I don't want to be an ambassador. I quit. God can't use that. If you don't want God, God don't want you.
Amen.
And that's why I don't chase him. Oh, please grab him by the leg, pants leg. Oh, please. Please stay. Oh, please don't go. No. No. I won't say what I just thought. That's why I was going back. God could do this all by himself. He really could. God could have called for them flies down in Egypt, but he said, Moses, that's your job. God could have done it because God did do it. But he used Moses' lips. And Moses couldn't bring one fly into existence. But God gave Moses all the credit. You come to church, and God wants to use your lips. He wants to use your lips if you're an ambassador. If he cannot use your lips, you are just a citizen. I was being good there. I'll just tell you what to do, and you just go do it. He fully done that, see? He could have chosen the sun to call them. He could have caused the moon to call it or the wind to call it. But he said, Moses, he chose man. Right. That's what God does. He chooses man. Right. That's why he brings you to this house. That's why you're in this tabernacle. Because God chose you and brought you here because he wants you to be his ambassador. He wants you to go out and do the miraculous things. He wants you to come back and testify. Because you got to realize, when you testify in front of this mic here, this goes around the world. The bride around the world was rejoicing over that purse that was found. You say, well, but that wasn't nothing. You got to know what you're looking at. When my boy was in my arms and I was patting him, and that one man come to visit our church, and he saw Brother Isaac back there asleep, because Brother Isaac get here on Sunday morning and he's tired. He's lay his head back and he'd snore. But this guy sitting there looking at that, he's looking around the church and just didn't see any big old I was looking for God, and all I saw was a bunch of people in here worshiping. And I was out in the parking lot, and I had my little boy in my arm, who the doctor said Clarice couldn't have any kids. And he was born early, and he was fine. Matter of fact, he's taller than me now. And I had him in my arms, and that guy was there, standing there in the parking lot. He's like, I don't know. God's not in this place. Where are the miracles? Where's all the things that God's doing? And I'm standing there with a miracle right in front of his face. I didn't open my mouth. I let him climb in his car and drive away, and he has never come back. But you know what? On that day, God's going to say, my ambassador was standing right in front of you with a miracle, and you were too blind to see. He needs us. He needs to use you. Those little things that you don't think are much is everything to him. He don't want you to sit back and act like, oh, well, it doesn't matter about me. Do you realize what he's done to get you here? Go back generations. And how many people did he have to put together to get you here? He makes this one with this one, and 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 generation after generation, and generation after generation, all the way till he got you just right to the perfect look. That's exactly who I saw. And it says, now let me protect them all of their life. Because they don't know nothing. They don't know me. They don't know who they are. Let me keep my hand. Do you know God's had his hand on you all your life? He didn't just start watching over you. He's always watched over you. He's always protected you. He's always loved you. He protected you when you didn't even feel like you wanted to be protected. He kept his hand on you when you would have been in that car wreck and got killed. He was in that house fire that he protected you from. He was in that car wreck that he protected you from. He guided that bullet away from you that would have hit you. He kept you out of harm's way even before you even said you loved him.
Amen.
How much he's done to get you here today. In his mind's eye, he saw this service this morning. And how he had to work hard to get you here. How he had to do all of these done and bring you here, and then you're going to come and sit down and not say nothing.
Come on.
You're going to sit down and not do nothing. He don't need me. He needed you, or he wouldn't have brought you here.
Amen.
Our son leaders should have the worst time there is trying to, hold up. You got to sit down. We can't have any more. We got to bring the word. Everybody stop. Come back next week. That should be the son leader. Not stand up here saying, oh, won't you come? Won't somebody, don't anybody have anything to say for God? Did God do anything for you this week? Did God do anything? God is keeping your heart beating while you're sitting here. If you just thanked him for that, that would be more than what you've done.
Come on.
Amen. Kept you in your right mind. Listen to this, what Brother Branham said. And God said to Moses, take off your shoes. The ground you're standing on is holy. I have chosen you to go down to deliver my people. I'm giving you power. You can smite the earth with plagues. You can turn the water into blood. You can bring fleas and life. God could have done all that himself. You can bring fleas and life. Nothing is going to harm you. I've chosen you. Why? because he chose Christ. See? You choose Christ, and he chooses you.
Amen.
That's the way that works.
Amen.
It's not a one-way street. You're not just drugging here. You don't really want to be here, but you got to be here. But no, you want, if you choose Christ, he will choose you. You got to have some part to play with this, because God is not a dictator that he's going to make you do anything. He wants to choose you, but you got to choose him too. He's not going to make you be an ambassador. You got to want to be an ambassador. You should be running to the house of God with a praise on your heart. You should run to work wanting to be that example. You should want to run to your neighborhood store so they can see God in flesh.
Amen.
You got to choose him. He ain't going to make you serve him. He's not going to make you do the right thing. You act silly if you want to. God will say, okay. You choose to have Satan lead the way. God's going to say, okay. You choose not to let him leave your life. God's going to say, okay. You know, I'm a lot like that. I'm a lot like God. I like that. If you don't want what I got, I won't even make you feel bad. I don't even make you feel bad about when you want to walk away from me. I won't even make you feel bad about walking away. When you decide you want to do something and it's away from the Word of God, and I know anything that takes you away from the Word is Satan, and you choose to go that route, I'll say, okay. I remember one time Praveen is getting out of college. And Praveen told me, he said, I got my degree now. They offered me a job in Texas. And I'm like, really? Now, in my mind's eye, I'm saying, I know where the Word of God is. But if you don't know where the Word of God is, I will support you in your decision. He said, I'm going to go, I think I'll apply and go to Texas. I'm like, okay. Praveen come back to me and said, I decided I'm not going to Texas. This church ain't everywhere. You can't get this everywhere. I like, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Now you're talking like an ambassador. But if you don't want this, I will make you feel good about leaving it. And that's awful. That's an awful pastor. But it's like, I ain't going to try to hold on to you. Either you want the job or you don't. You know, if somebody don't want to work for me, I had an employee one time, and she's a good friend of mine. I've worked with her one place, and I hired her to work with me. And I always tell my employees, I shouldn't tell y'all this, but I do. I tell all my employees this. I says, whatever you do, don't ever give me a resignation. Don't give me a resignation letter. That's it, because once I get it, I will not give it back. Because you know what that tells me? Is that you're mentally checked out. And if I keep you, I'm going to have to baby you. And that's the same thing here. You threatened me that you're going to leave the church. Give me your resignation letter. I told him, I said, don't. And I had a good friend. I hired her because she worked with me in another place. She came and she got mad about something. She turned in her resignation letter to me. I was like, okay. About 4 or 5 days later, I never went back to ask her, never checked with her, never wanted to confirm. And she sent word to me. I know she did, from another employee. Said, you know, if you ask Cheryl to stay, she will. And I ain't doing it. I got her letter. I don't give it back. You tell me you're leaving the church? Okay. Because that tells me you've checked out mentally long before you physically left. You haven't been an ambassador for a while. You don't want that ambassadorship job? Okay. God will raise up a rock to sit in your seat. Come here, see a rock in your chair. You say, what? What's that? God don't need you. He need ambassadors, but it doesn't have to be you. You want to stay quiet? Stay quiet. You don't want to push this thing forward? Don't push it forward. You don't want to be involved with nothing? I can't get with those sisters. They're just cliques. They're all just cliques. You know what? Go on, unclick it. said, he said, well, there's always those same three sisters. Well, climb in there and make it four. I see four in the fire, one likened unto the Son of Man. You know what? You can unclick a click by getting in a click.
Amen.
I unclicked a lot of clicks. I stopped a lot of gossip. I stopped a lot of problems. But you don't help nobody sitting at home talking about how clicky they are. I'll get out of your business in a minute. But I'm here now. I'm an ambassador. I got to tell you what God tells me to tell you. Even if you don't want to hear it, I got to tell you. It's only a click when you don't get in it.
Amen.
I done got off of my thought. Okay. I mean, but this is real stuff, people.
Yes.
They don't like me. The brothers, they got together at Don's house, and they all chopped the wood. They all chopped the wood. He only invited the ones that he liked. You got a car. If you don't have a car, you got a brother with a car. And if you don't have a brother with a car, call Don. Don, I heard your click is over there chopping wood. And I want to unclick this click, so come and get me. I want to be a part of it. You see how fast Don comes and gets you. And what you think is a click ain't no click. It's just Satan playing in your mind. You mean brothers can get in clicks like that too? Oh, yeah. Only invite certain people over. Only have certain ones. You only have certain, you know. I heard you had a cookout the other day. Yeah? When'd you hear that? Well, I heard that day. Well, why didn't you come over? Well, I wasn't invited. You know, I was so embarrassed because I never thought I had to be invited to somebody's house. I've come on people's houses for years uninvited. I didn't know it was rude. I really honestly didn't. I just get in my car, go over your house, knock on your door. If you're home, I get you. If you don't, if you're not home, I'll just go somewhere else. And I had moved in on Main Street, and I was at work, and I was telling the people, I said, why don't y'all come to my house? They said, you never invited us. I said, I don't have to invite you. Just come. They said, Nate, it's rude to go to somebody's house uninvited. I said, it is. I didn't know that. If I know Melanie's home, I'm coming over. I don't need an invite. I didn't think I needed an invite. Maybe I do. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just flat rude. But I believe if a brother's doing something and you hear about it and you want to be a part of it, then be a part. This is not rocket science, people. Be a part of it. Sister's having a sewing party. Renee's having a knitting party. And she didn't invite me. Well, you know where she lives? No, call her up. You got the church phone book. It's not new. We don't have any unlisted numbers there. Okay. Call it up. Hey, Renee, where's the knitting party? I'm coming. Where we're in the back of the church. Well, okay, I won't come. No, get over. See, I'm telling you, all this petty stuff that y'all fuss and fight over, and y'all put these walls up acting like nobody cares about you. We care about everybody in this body.
Yes.
And if you're alone, it's by your choice. If you're by yourself, it's by your choice. If you don't have any friends, you know that old saying, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. If you don't have any friends, you haven't done something right.
Come on. Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Okay.
I love you, Lord.
I'm talking about you, ambassador. You got to be able to mix. You got to be able to go. You got to be able to do. God wants you to be the one that he uses. And if you're by yourself in this body, I blame you for that.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Because I hear it. Nobody wants to do with me. Well, that's your fault. Nobody ever calls me over to come home. That's still your fault. Do you know that phone works both ways? The road works both ways in most cases. Unless you go down a one way. But then there's always a way out. So when I hear y'all whining about not having fellowship, you get the point.
Thank you for that, Lord.
Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Before. In God's mind, he had already sanctified Jeremiah. Do you know sanctification didn't really happen to Jeremiah until after the new birth of Jesus Christ? But in God's mind, he'd already sanctified him. Already called him, justified him, sanctified him. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Can you put yourself in there? You should be able to. Then said I, here's what a real humble. Now, I've never seen a real Christian boastful, just flat out, just, I'm the best thing God's got. A real, honest to God believer is humble. The more you know, the more humble you get. And I talk about this man-made phony humility that they have. God bless you and all that junk. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who realizes outside of the grace of God, there go I. Outside of the grace of God, I could not be saved. Outside of the grace of God, he's done this for me. Now I humbly approach him and want to give back just a little bit of what he's done for me. You just, this right here, coming to church today, do you know how much God's done for you since midnight? He's done more for you since midnight than all you can do today is service.
Wow.
He's kept you safe.
Come on, Lord.
He didn't let your house burn down around you. He didn't let some criminal walk in on you. You can get shot not even being in a fight. Last week a girl got killed and they were fighting next door. You don't have to be a bad person to have the grace of God cover you. He kept you on your way to church. All those traffic accidents, none of them were you. You didn't have a brain tumor in the middle of the night and die. I'm just talking about what he's done for you since midnight that you didn't even give him glory for, that you took for granted because he did it.
Give it to us, Lord.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He called himself a child. I don't know nothing. But listen what the Lord did. He rebuked him. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Now listen, I'm talking to y'all now. All that I send ye, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. When an ambassador goes, he's got the entire nation behind him. When you go, you got the entire kingdom of God behind you. You don't need to be afraid of this world. You don't need to be afraid of the devil. You don't need to be afraid of anything. God's got you. He will take care of you. He will cover you. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. There it is again. Don't you go before you get that coal on you. Don't go until God sends you.
Amen.
Don't go until you're born again. Amen. You're not an ambassador till you're born again. You can't even tell anybody anything till you're born again.
Amen.
You don't even know what's happening until you're born
Amen.
Again.
Right.
Once it's happened to you, then you can tell it.
Yeah.
But don't go before the coal hits your tongue.
Yeah.
Don't talk when you don't know what you're talking about.
Amen.
Don't move before God shows you how to move. Don't speak until God speaks. And when God's silent, you get silent. The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my word in thy mouth. There you go. When you get the word in you, then you take it out to others. I just happened to look at the time. It's 12 o'clock. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my word in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Wow. That's a lot of work for an ambassador. But you got to understand, an ambassador is not there just for doing good. When two countries are getting ready to go to war, sometimes he's got to go over there and be straight-faced with them. Tell them, you're not going to do that. Sometimes you as an ambassador got to tell your family, you're not going to do that. You're destroying the whole country when you do that. Sometimes you as an ambassador have to tell your congregation, you're not going to do that. I tell y'all that. Sometimes I tell y'all stuff that y'all don't listen. Y'all have iniquity.
Come on, Lord. Talk to me, Lord.
You tell on yourself and you say, you know what? I didn't go talk to the pastor because I knew what he was going to say. Well, if you know what he's going to say, then he's already said it. So then it becomes iniquity on your part because though you didn't hear me say no, you knew it was no. You knew it was no. It's not the words that come out of my mouth. If you know the revelation and you know what God is calling for and you know what God is asking, it's not really my voice you're hearing. It's the voice of God. They say, oh, I hear the pastor's voice in my head. It's not my voice. What you're hearing is the words that I'm saying that God tells me to tell you. It just happens to be my voice that you hear because that's where you heard it from. But it becomes the word of God to you. And then at that point, what you do, it is up to you. And I might see you. You'll get bold enough to come right in my face and do exactly what I said not to do. And you know what? I won't even say nothing. And you think you got over. You think you outsmarted me. You think you got by with something. And I'm looking at you saying, you're full of iniquity. And I'll smile at you while I say it. And I'll say it to myself, because you already know it. See, that's how this works. It's not about you doing something for me. You ain't got to do nothing for me. This is between you and God. If God tells you to stop doing something, stop.
Amen.
If God tells you to start doing something, start.
Yeah.
If you hear my voice, then you understand it's not me, it's God that was in me talking to you.
Amen.
That's what the Son of Man ministry is all about. It's 12 o'clock. Luke chapter 9, he said to them all, if a man will come after me, verse 23, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. I know the pastor said this, but I want to do this. Well, doing this is iniquity. Doing this is denying yourself. Stay with what the word's telling you to do. Become an ambassador. Only way you're a good ambassador is when you're doing his will. You're not the president. You're an ambassador. You don't even give them your idea. You might not even agree with what the president's asking you to tell them. But you know what? You don't have a choice in the matter. It's not your country. It's not your fight. It's not your decision. It's not even your words. You're speaking what he is telling you to speak. You are just a carrier of the word. You are just an ambassador to do the will of God. You're sent to do his will. That's who you are. I'm Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, verse 10, and in the power of his might. See, everybody wants power. But they don't want, they don't understand what power is, and they don't know the cost of it. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the power of God. And we need the power of God. The power of God ain't just us calling down lightning. It's not us just healing the sick, raising the dead, blowing our breath and making everybody pass out. That's not the power of God. Listen to what Brother Branham said the power is. It's funny because I saw this twice when I was looking things up yesterday, and I wasn't going to tie it in. I thought, but I thought, the second time I thought, I might need to bring it. You know, people want power. And really, they don't know what power is. See, they don't really know what goes with it. The way up is down. Always. If you want power, see how humble you can get. Just get away from all your worldly thinking and humble yourself before God. And then you'll get more power than the man that runs all over the building and makes a big, loud lot of noise, see, because you have been able to conquer yourself. That's the first thing, is conquering yourself. Overcoming you. Not in a bunch of words, but in your actions. You've been able to conquer yourselves and commit yourself to Christ. You see, to humble yourself before Him, that's really power. You show me a church that's humble, real humble, not arrogancy. A church, just a sweet, humble church. I'll show you a church that has favor and power of God in it. That's right. That's the thing it takes. Humility, humbling ourselves before God, letting God just work through us. Don't have to make a lot of noise. Sometimes, as the farmer said, he went on the field with his wagon, and every time he hit a bump, it just rattled and went on. But when he comes back and he hit the same bump, and it didn't make no noise at all, because it was loaded with good things. So I think that that's just about right, see?
Yeah, right.
That we get all filled up with God, the things of God, that the fruit of the Spirit might be known to us, as he referred so much to 1 Corinthians 13 there, and how though I give my body to be burnt, and have all these things and have not charity, it's nothing. Profits me nothing, you see? We want to do that. I want a humble church.
Yeah.
And that's a church that's loaded down with revelation.
Right.
Not in and out, tossed to and fro, back and forth. I want real ambassadors of Christ who knows the message to take to the world.
Amen.
Because if you don't know the message from the king, or you don't know the message from the Lord, or you don't know the message from your president, then you don't have nothing to go for. You first have to get the message.
Yeah.
Don't run without a message.
Right.
Don't run out here and say, I got it. And you don't have a clue about what you're talking about. Settle down. Humble yourself. Get in here and let the word rub you raw. Tear off all that skin. Tear off all that dross. Get rid of all that old stuff. Get rid of my thinking. Get rid of my thoughts. Get rid of my will. Get to the place where Jesus was. It's not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
Get to that place. Then you can pick up a message that you can take as an ambassador.
Right.
Then you can be an ambassador for Christ.
Right.
Because that's really what he wants from you. Paul over in Ephesians chapter 6. He's talking about the whole armor. He says, praying always, verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. When you become an ambassador, you're tied to something. You're not just out here floating around doing your own thing by my own island. First thing a new birth will do is tie you to a body. The first thing. And once you're tied to a body, then as the body moves, you move. As the body speaks, you speak. As you move forward, you're representing a body as an ambassador. One last quote. But God sent some on the earth to represent him as an ambassador for him, from him. And the ambassador is ordained of God to go into the great unknown supernatural and discern and to bring out things in the natural that the natural mind cannot perceive it. It brings out the mystery of God, foretells things that is, and things that has been, and things that will be. What is it? God behind skins, human skins. That's exactly right. Now, Brother Brown was talking here, and he was describing a prophet and how God used a prophet. But as he was describing, I said, that is every ambassador that God has. He's called of God. And he shows them things that was. Things that will be. He goes into the great unknown supernatural. This great mystery that we've had tore off in the book of Revelations. We all partake of this now. And discern. This word is a discerner. It's discerning everybody in here. As the word goes forth, it's discerning everybody in this building. You say, I got hit a few times. That's the word doing that. That ain't the pastor. I ain't following you home and coming and saying, I saw what you did. No, that's God following you home. And God's discerning you. The word is a discerner. And brings out things the natural mind cannot perceive. We're talking on things now that this world has no idea. Who can I send? Who will be an ambassador for me? Who can God trust to deliver? See, you got to be able to trust an ambassador that he's going to deliver the message. I don't want somebody as an ambassador who don't know what my message is, and they go to try to tell you what I want, and they don't know themselves, and so they just run off the mouth. Have you ever seen anybody just running off at the mouth? They don't know nothing and said nothing. You got to know the message. And you won't get that outside of coming to church and hearing what God is telling us to take to the world. And when you take that to the world, then God can use you. Until then, keep your seat and just keep listening. And when God gets through with you, you will be what he wants you to be. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this morning that we can be your ambassador. Lord, the question was, who can I send? And the answer was, send me. But Lord, I want to run with your message. I don't want to just go. I want to take your message. I want to have your word, your mind, your thoughts, so that when I talk to the world, I can let them know who you are and what you want to be said. Thank you for this congregation, how they, Lord, deal so much with us and how they put up with so many things that comes along in this world. But, Lord, when it comes to the Word, it's not something that we put up with, but it's something we love. I love taking your Word and delivering it to the people. We are your ambassadors. We want to do so, Father. Keep your hand on us and direct our paths and don't let us settle into some form of godliness. But let us push towards the mark. Let us always pick up your word and your message that you want delivered. And let us take it, Lord. Send me, Lord. I want to be the one to go. I want to be the one to take it. I want to be the one to represent you. Help us to do a better job at it, Lord. Where we find ourselves short, let us push up a little closer. Let us not let iniquity reign in our lives. But Lord, let us do that you want us to do. Let us lend ourselves, members, for you to use. Thank you for this opportunity. I ask you to be with us and bring us back safely this evening so that we can, Lord, further develop ourselves so that we can be a better ambassador for you. I ask you to say, Lord, something just on behalf of Praveen. I want to just say, Lord, just thank you for him being an ambassador. Lord, he's heading out of here and heading back home. And Lord, let him take more than anything else, this word that he's picked up here, and let him use it for thy glory in India. Thank you for it all, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Speak, my Lord. That's what we want him to do. We want him to speak to us. You don't know what he wants till he tells you. Hear the Lord, O harvest, sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Oh, who will bring to me the dust and dying? And who will point them to the narrow way? Oh, speak, my Lord. And I will quickly answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. When the coal of fire, when the coal of fire touched the prophet, making him as pure can be. When the voice of God said, who go with us? Then he answered, here I am, send me. So speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Answer thee, oh, speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. Millions now in sin, oh, millions now in sin and shape are dying. Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Just hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. So speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. And I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. Soon the time of reaping, soon the time of reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest home. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child.